As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Late night, midnight on the interstate. I didn't feel so great until I saw the city.
Welcome back to Straight from the Source, Michael Russo. I'm happy to be joined by the general manager of the Minnesota Wild. We're doing this from his office. Nice place you got here, Billy Guerin.
Yeah, it's not too bad. I enjoy it. This is a good office. Good office. We got a great building here. An old classic and. It's a very good spot.
What's like the first thing you do when you sit down in your new office and you have to personalize the place? Like, what are some of the, like, you got the Billy Guerin 19 jersey on here?
Yeah,
I was hoping you'd have some depth charts hanging in the wall.
Yeah, no, we locked you out of that room. But just, you know what, personal pictures, you know, family pictures and things like that. Just stuff to kind of... make it your own.
Yep. Trotting.
That's a picture of Trotz and John Tinelli with Trotz giving the cameraman
the double. Yeah.
And then that's Eddie Johnson after they won the Stanley Cup in Boston. He's got at least a case of beer under his feet there. And he said he drank every one of them. He's an absolute beauty. He's priceless.
Yep.
And then that picture right there is me and Randy McKay. Filling the Stanley Cup out of the beer taps at the Verona Inn in New Jersey.
Somebody asked about the Verona Inn on here. You and I have talked about the Verona Inn. The Verona Inn isn't the same Verona Inn that it used to be.
No,
right?
They tore the old one down, the one that we used to hang out, and they moved it up to Bloomfield Ave somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, so I grew up in Long Island, but my first cousins all lived in Verona, so we used to go there every weekend.
Town. Yeah. You didn't have to buy anything in Verona. Everything was traded. You know, the bar owners gave the – gave beer to the deli guys. The deli guys gave the bar owners sandwiches and, you know, this and that. Everything was like traded. It's such a great town. It was awesome.
Yep. No, absolutely awesome. And again, thanks for coming on the podcast, especially a day after obviously the Parisian suitor buyouts. And it's pretty funny as I was driving here thinking like, this has got to be your like eighth or ninth time already on this podcast. We got to come up with like a gift. Like I used to go on the Fan in New York.
A gift would be nice.
Yeah. Like I used to go on with Kenny Albert on the Fan in New York before Ranger games, during Ranger games. And he used to always like, he'd hand you a watch, a pen, a gift certificate to a steakhouse. Here at the Athletic, we got to get some guest gifts.
You should start doing it out of your personal wallet, account.
No doubt. We'll do it. We'll get a beer on the road.
We used to get Armatron watches from doing Sports Channel interviews in New Jersey.
So we got Croton, C-R-O-T-E-N from WFAN. Let's start with a fun question here from somebody called Billy Guerin's Burner. Are we drinking an Italian, French, or Spanish red after a day like yesterday? It's a pretty good question. What, when you get off a day like yesterday, what is the first thing you do?
You know what? Just try to just decompress.
Yeah.
And you know what? Yeah, I would probably go with, a heavy bodied California cab.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yesterday, you said yesterday that you've been thinking about this for 6 to 8 months,
right,
internally talking inside the organization. And now it's funny you said that yesterday, and I look back and I'm thinking about all the stories I wrote about the captaincy and how at the time, you know, you had all these candidates and maybe two of them really were never candidates at that point. But, you know, when you make that final decision, how far in advance did you guys make that decision? And can you bring everybody through the sort of the all the pros and cons when you're deciding something that impactful?
Well, I mean, I'll share with you what I can. I can't, you know, obviously share everything. And it's a long process. I think it's about, I don't even know what day it is today, 14th today. Mm-hmm. So probably about a month ago, we came up with the final decision. But even then, you just still... You want to come up with a decision that early because you still have to go over it a million times. Mm-hmm. You don't want to just say, oh, okay, you know what? Now we'll wait for the day to do it. It's a very important move. It's a very big deal. And you're dealing, like I've said, we're not just dealing with hockey players. We're dealing with human beings, and they have lives and families and kids. And so you got to get it right. And you know, it probably started, I don't know, probably 6 months ago. I said 8 to 6 yesterday, but probably more like 6. And, you know, just you have to go to your boss with a plan and, you know, not just an idea and, hey, doesn't this sound great? Well, okay. Well, you got to answer, you know, I have to answer all Craig's questions, you know, and Craig's a real, like, smart guy, and he has all the right questions, and I need the answers for him right then and there. So, you know, before I go to him, I have to put these things down in a, you know, nothing too fancy, but I have to present it to him and, you know, walk him through it so he understands my thinking. And, you know, I think we're a good team because he challenges me. He doesn't just say, okay, do what you want. No, there's thought behind it, and he pushes back a little bit, and you know, if he didn't like it, he didn't like it. Mm-hmm. And, but he understood. And then he lets me do my job.
Yep.
So there's challenge there, but there's also a ton of support. And then it's just about, you know, making sure this is the right thing to do, mm-hmm, and that we're set on this, and then just executing it.
Right. These guys, you know, and again, I know you say that there's certain things you can't say, and you might even laugh at this question, but was there any possibility at all to trade either one of them? I mean, you know, is it just with their no moves in the 7.538 and if you retained half the salary, I mean, would it have been a pretty impossible move to make?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think it was very challenging. And it's not necessarily the players, it's the contracts.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they're you know, maybe if they were 5 years younger, but it was difficult. You know, we tried with Zach, you know, like we tried, and he was aware of that. We walked through it together, and it's just very difficult. Like, mm-hmm, there's a lot of things that would have to fall in line for that. So like I said, this was the cleanest way.
Yeah. You, you know, somebody did ask on here, and you're a human being. Like, I mean, on a day like yesterday morning, I mean, how nervous are you to even make those phone calls? Or at this point in your career, you've made so many tough phone calls that it's sort of like, all right, it's just another two phone calls I got to make.
No, you know what? Listen, I slept well the night before, but I woke up really early. I think it was up at 5:30 and like just kind of ready to go. I have to kind of put my game face on,
yeah,
and get ready for it. But you know you're delivering terrible news, and you know it sucks. So you have to, for me personally, I have to get psyched up. I have to prepare for it.
Mm-hmm.
So because I think they deserve that. I just don't want to, you know, just pick up the phone and be like, you know, hey, here's some terrible news. See you later.
Yeah.
I want to be prepared and I want to present it the right way because they deserve that.
Yep. And I know it's not anything important, but it was two very different phone calls, right? I mean, Zach, talking to him, he sounded almost like, all right, I'm ready. He was excited about free agency. He was already talking to me about what teams he could potentially go to. I mean, there was probably some relief there with him where probably it was a little shocking for Ryan.
Yeah. I'd say you're definitely accurate on that. And understandably, and mm-hmm. you know what, it's not easy either way. It's just the way that it all kind of shook out. And yeah, you know, two very different guys. I think everybody always ties them together, but they're different people.
Yeah,
and they had different situations.
We talked about the cap hits yesterday, but in a way, I mean, these guys, they would have still been here for 4 years making 7.538. So really, you know, and you can look at it one way that really doesn't put you in any worse cap situation you were, even a little better, you know, obviously this year as well. So how does this go from the next little while here? You're going to have to go out now and use some of this money to go buy free agents. Do you have to go into free agency saying we can only sign guys to 2 or 3 year deals at reasonable contracts, or could you actually maybe go out and get some significant pieces?
I mean, we could do either, to be honest mm-hmm. with you. It's just we want to make sure that we're doing the right thing. Like if we're going to go long term with somebody, we really have to make sure that this is the right thing to do, because we do have a tight cap situation, but you know, we're looking at that, all of that stuff right now, and have been for the last little while, because it's going to be, they're extremely important decisions, and how much we spend and where we spend it, where we put the emphasis on and things like that.
Right. And you're still going to go into next training camp by saying, look, these guys have, if they're on an entry level deal, they still have to earn it. You can't, like yesterday 100%. Didn't make them. Yeah. Like yesterday doesn't all of a sudden mean, all right, you know what? We're going to have Rossi there and Doer there and Addison there. And
no.
Yeah.
No, we're still going to do it the right thing. And we're going to do the right thing for the player at the right time. And if they need time in Iowa, if they need time to develop, that's what we're going to do. This is not to, you know, like I said, this is not to clear cap space for one or two guys. This is not to open up a roster spot for one specific player. No, the guys are still going to have to come in and go through it. If they come in and, you know, blow your socks off, then great. Mm-hmm. But the right things have to be done.
Yeah. Yeah. I did this piece for today. Eventually, it's probably going up any minute here. I'm just kind of looking at now free agents in here. And obviously, these guys aren't free agents yet, so I know you can't talk about it anybody publicly. But the one thing, looking at your depth chart now, and especially if you happen to lose a defenseman in the expansion draft, I mean, you're probably going to have to sign at least three, I would think, right?
Yeah, we'll see what happens next week. But yeah, we're going to need some defensemen for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Do you have a specific, I mean,
I'm just happy you didn't say a number one center.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's my next. God. Trust me. I'll wait a half hour into the podcast for that. I'll butter you up, pour you a glass of heavy bodied red cab. Yeah. Especially after Darren Dreger's report today. Did you see that?
Yeah. No, yeah. I'm off Twitter. Yeah. I don't have Twitter.
Yeah.
So I don't see a lot of this stuff.
Well, I can't even mention the name because you can't talk about him.
Which is healthy.
But it's stuff that we've talked about. You're not unaware. Yeah. Well, let me ask you, since you brought it up. So number one center. You know, one thing I will say, it's fair. If you were having trade talks for a number one center yesterday or 2 days ago, yesterday doesn't really change anything because you were talking, they were going to be on this team with that cap situation anyway. Yeah. So you could theoretically still go out and make that move.
This doesn't change anything. We just don't have those two guys. On our team anymore.
Yep.
So the cap situation's the same. It's tight. It's something we got to try to manage and.
Yep.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you're listening to this podcast and don't understand why I can't say the name, when you're a GM of one team, unless that person is a free agent after July 28th, the GM can't talk about any player under contract with another team. So So you can't, you know, he can't talk trades and things like that. So I'm not going to put Billy in that position. Back to the defenseman. Do you have, like, obviously you have a wish list, and you've been workshopping that with your staff for a long, long time. But right now, you know, you have Spurgeon, Brodin and Dumba, you know, maybe an Addison on the team as well. You know, maybe Soucy, maybe not, depending on what happens in expansion. Do you feel like because you have these sort of mobile, freewheeling defensemen, that it would be nice to get some maybe grit and size in free agency, and that would be the wish?
Yeah, yeah. That's definitely something that we're gonna try to address. Just a little bit more heaviness, I think. And, you know, it's something that we could definitely use.
Right.
Yeah.
We joked about it at the beginning that you go home and decompress. Well, what is your night like? I mean, I got to think, like, I know when news like that happens for me, I mean, I'm getting text messages all, not just from reporters, but from people in the business and things like that. What's the day like yesterday when that news breaks from your colleague's standpoint, you know, ex-player, whatever, buddies?
Yeah, you know, it's a couple fellow GMs reached out, and, you know, that's always appreciated, because it's kind of a cool fraternity, because they know they're the other guys that really know how hard it is, and what the day looks like, and what it does. So to hear from guys like that, it's really cool.
Right.
You know, yesterday I went and honestly, I went and hit some golf balls yesterday, like later, and had a little dinner. And honestly, I have to do that. I have to, like, put my phone away, because if I don't, I mean, I could be on my phone all night, but you know what? I need to give myself time to, like, just get away from it for an hour, 2 hours or whatever. Yeah. And then, you know, it just
decompress.
Yeah. Yeah. You really have to, like, just for your own mental health.
Right. Expansion draft next week. I mean, do you think at this point that you pretty much know who you're, I mean, obviously you right now know who you're protecting and exposing, but I mean, is it at this point, I mean, is it just, you know, to Seattle, hey, here's our list, take one and we'll deal with it. I mean, at this point, rather than now giving up more assets and.
Yeah, I say that now, but like I have to, yeah, things can change. I mean, you know, we're still, you know, a few days away and we don't know what could happen. You know what? Something could come across, you know, my desk tomorrow, and it sounds like a good deal. So we'll do it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to date, nothing that good has come up. So,
right.
Yeah.
You anticipate I should have my phone on. Can I unwind to take my, turn my phone off at night?
Some days I wish you would.
Yeah, I know. yesterday morning, it was one of those days, yeah, I bet. Yeah. I texted you. I'm like, I know what's going on and I need some insight here. And, I know you got, I'm assuming we're going to have some press availability here, but you, at some point you're going to want me to explain this.
Yeah.
So yeah, that one, I bet you that one, you were like, are you kidding me? Like, okay, that Russo's already found this out. Like, how long after you made the phone calls did I find out? That's what I want to know.
It was pretty quick.
Yeah.
It was pretty quick. I to be quite honest with you, I'm not surprised anymore. I'm not. But you know what? Like, you know, being off Twitter now, I think I'm probably like 9 months off Twitter. And
I envy you.
It's, you know what? There are little things here and there that I miss, but they're really not that big a deal. So I might miss things that like you come up with and tweet out or whatever, and I'll find out a little later. I'll find out, but like that thing for like my own mental health, I was just like, you know what? I'm getting off Twitter.
Yeah.
And you know what? With everything going on in the world today too, like I was just like, you know what? There's so much negative. You're not you.
Yeah.
There's so much negative stuff going on right now. I got to get away from that.
Yeah.
Everything was negative and it drags you down and this and that. I don't want that. So yeah, I might be a little late to the game on some Twitter scoops or things that people say, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I envy you. I always say the day that I retire is probably the day that I at least change my account.
Yeah, exactly.
deactivate. Let's talk about contract negotiations with Kaprizov and Fiala. I mean, obviously, it sounds to me like this is not something that's just going to be wrapped up pretty quickly. My only desire is August 13th to the 18th. I'll be in Cabo. If you can make sure it doesn't happen then. How do these, like, people always want to know how a contract negotiation goes, you know, like sometimes when the end of the deal is done, I look at it, I'm like, what the heck took so long? It just seems so clear, yeah. You know? Yeah. But what is the process on something like this?
You know what? It's really different. And I think it really makes a difference who the agent is, mm-hmm. and more importantly, who the client is, mm-hmm. because some guys are, you know, the agents work for the client, for the player. If the player is dead set on getting X, well, then that's what the agent is going to do. You know, he's going to, so you can get them done real quick. Erickson Ek wanted a long deal done, and he wanted to get it done quickly. Claude Lemieux and I, you know, we're old teammates too. So mm-hmm. we have a very good relationship. We've been friends for a long time and we're just extremely honest with each other and said, hey, I want to get a deal done. And he says, yes, we do too. We want, so I said, okay, well, I'm going to make you an offer. But when I'm going to make you an offer to get a deal done like mm-hmm. today. Mm-hmm. So this isn't like, I'm going to lowball you. You come back high and we'll argue mm-hmm. and some eventually meet in the middle. This is not that. We had the understanding that I was going to put my best foot forward mm-hmm. in order to get a deal done today. Right. And of course there is a little, but that just, that sets the tone. That starts the, then there is a negotiation and there is some wiggle room in there with, you know, well, how about this many years and this, it'll up the number or down the number. You know, can we go back and forth on no trade stuff? And there's a whole bunch of different ways you can approach mm-hmm. it, but I don't really like beating around the bush. I just, you know, we have a good feeling on where guys are going to land and what we're comfortable paying mm-hmm. them. And I don't really want to waste anybody's time trying to win the deal. I don't mm-hmm. need to win the deal. I want the player to be happy. I want him to like his contract. I want to pay him fairly. There's nothing worse than a guy that thinks he got screwed and he's underpaid. Mm-hmm. So I always have that in the back of my mind too. Like, no, we gotta make a fair deal, like a good deal. But then there can be tougher ones too. Like, you know, Kirill's has taken a little bit longer, but that's okay. Like there's a lot of complications in it and there's a lot to talk about and it's a very unique situation. Mm-hmm. And you know what, Paul and I just, you know, I talked to him today briefly, but Kirill didn't even really come up. Like it was just about a couple other things. And it just, there are some complicated deals and it really depends on the player and, mm-hmm. and the GM too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt about that.
Yeah. I guess the GM would be, you know, yep. you can be a little more flexible with one guy when you dig your heels in on another guy.
Right. With Fiala, you know, the last contract obviously went right until training camp. And then that was kind of one of the ones I'm like, well, what took so long? 2 years, six. I always thought it was going to be that on a bridge deal.
You know, yeah.
You know, there's a great example, but this one seems pretty complicated. Like there's a certain projection for him and it seems like, you know, he does think that he's a different type of player and that this could be a long issue.
I think the thing with Kevin's contract right now is that Kevin's a little older now mm-hmm. and he's creeping towards UFA and that, you know, that in itself makes it a little bit more complicated. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much like the numbers really surprise anybody or anything like that. You know, it's just, oops, sorry about that.
No problem.
Getting these spam calls like crazy, I know, me too. Lately. It's just nuts.
It's just crazy. Have you ever watched the show Trafficked on National Geographic?
No.
Maria, something, unbelievable journalist. And she goes to the Dominican Republic and she goes undercover down there. And all a lot of these spam calls just come from these scammers down in the Dominican.
Really?
And it's unbelievable.
Oh, I got to watch
Traffic? They got 7 or 8. She embeds herself with drug dealers, gunslinger. I mean, it's crazy. She's trafficked.
She sounds tough.
Yeah, she is. She's a true dreamer. She's not a hockey writer.
All right.
Yeah. But you were saying about Fiala, sir.
You know, the number's the number, and I, a lot of it, like with a kid his age, has to do with like term and things like that, and you know how much do you pay for the UFA years, and you know it can get complicated, and you know, hey, I trust me, I was stubborn as hell. I had 2 holdouts as a player. As a player, I was a pain in the ass. But you know, you get guys that are really competitive, and they see what's out there in the market and what their peers are getting, and they're like, well, yeah, I want that too.
Yeah,
you know, I'm better than him.
Yeah,
you know, why shouldn't I get that? And I understand that's a competitiveness that you want.
Yeah, let's take one quick break, and then we'll be right back with Billy Guerin.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And if you're listening to The Athletic, you can subscribe to The Athletic at theathletic.com/straightfromthesource. Podcast galore this week. Arizona Coyotes head coach Andre Tourne, who's Marco Rossi's former coach, and Dean Lombardi are joining Pierre LeBrun and Scott Burnside on the two-man advantage edition of The Athletic Hockey Show. Jeremy Rutherford from The Athletic St. Louis joins Ian Mendez and Haley Salvinen to discuss the latest trade rumors revolving Vladimir Tarasenko, who you talked to his agent today. Maybe you could tell us what's going on there, Billy.
Dean Lombardi. Dean Lombardi is from Springfield, Mass.
Yeah.
I've known Dino since I was a kid, and he was actually going to be my agent before Bob Murray, who's my longtime agent, because Dean played for the same junior coach that I played for in Springfield. Mm-hmm. And it was all set. He was going to be my agent, and then Jack Ferrara hired him as the assistant GM in Minnesota.
Yeah, yeah.
So
with the North Stars.
So I had to go and find a new
Bob
agent.
Holford's son-in-law.
I think so.
Yeah.
You know, brilliant guy.
Yeah,
like brilliant guy. Great guy.
Pierre LeBrun is one of the people in my business that I look up to, and I remember being at like the 2001 or 2 draft in Toronto. I can't remember which one it was, and I remember we're outside the press room, and I'm sort of overhearing Pierre having this conversation with Dean Lombardi, and I just remember thinking to myself, you know what? I got to become a better hockey writer. Like I just live in my own little world and talk to Brian Murray and Chuck Fletcher, and you know, and just I'm the Florida Panthers writer. That's all I care about. I got to start like meeting other people, talking to other people, and it was one of those, it's like one of those moments that just still in my head, just listening, I'm like, oh, so that's how it's done. You're actually supposed to talk to other people around the league to learn things about the team that you're covering.
You're doing all right.
Yeah.
You're doing all right, Mike.
We got a bunch of Twitter questions. Somebody wants to know, what's the development plan for the new pup, Selly? Do you know anything about Selly? Any good development plan?
Yeah, Selly's actually in the office today, and he's very active. Dog. They had him. He was in his crate just taking a little snooze. And I was wondering why he was in his crate. We have a little pen for him upstairs, but he can jump over it.
Yeah.
So he has to go in his crate, but he's a cute dog. He's awesome.
Chris Hansen asked a good question. Did you ever witness any teammates or players that ever blew up at a GM if they were ever traded or bought out or something like that? Like, have you witnessed that type of stuff in the locker room?
Oh, yeah. not really GM, because mm-hmm. those meetings are usually done in private, but it has happened yeah. for sure. Coaches, for sure. Oh,
How many this season? I saw
a million of those yeah. and had a few of myself.
Yeah.
Some coaches actually didn't mind it because they knew you were like, you were fired up and you yeah. were in it.
Mike Keenan used to love Keenan, that.
That's who I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Mike loved it.
Yeah. If you were a little puppy dog, he would just eat you up.
You had to fight back and you had to earn your respect with Mike.
I remember Mike and I got into a huge disagreement when he was covering Florida, and there was a current president of a team in the NHL called me up. This is back when he was a broadcaster, so I'm giving it away.
Yeah.
He called me up and he goes, so what are you doing? Are you going to go to the practice today? I'm like, actually, I got the day off. He goes, no, you got to go there. Like, if Mike sees it after you wrote that, if Mike sees that you don't show up there, that will be something in his mind forever. And I had the day off, but I went there just to show my face and show that I was accountable for what I wrote.
For
and
sure.
He had problems. And I think people do respect that. You know?
Yeah. Oh, he was awesome.
Yeah. That was my thing with Brian Murray all the time. Like, if I wrote something, he was fine. If I showed up the next day and discussed it with him, you know, like, it's just, you know, you just got to stand up for it, right?
We're in a very public position, you know, people, mm-hmm. especially today with like Twitter and Instagram.
Today's probably a good day.
Quotes, you know, not that I don't care. I just don't read them. I can't.
Yeah.
It would drive me nuts.
Yeah. It would absolutely.
No, I like, you. Look, I like it when people, I want to be liked.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like it when people don't like me. It's so I have to fight against that. Yeah.
When somebody I really respect actually told me once, he goes, I'd much rather be respected than liked. So that's a good thing to.
Yep.
Connor wants to know if Billy could summarize in one sentence what this team looks like going into next year, what would it be?
Oh man, one sentence. Connor, if you knew me, you knew I have a hard time doing anything in one sentence. I mean, I don't shut up. So
I mean, basically,
you know what? I think this team will look different. And we will be very, very competitive.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I know that you have high expectations. I mean, that's the big thing that you made clear yesterday, that this was not like a step back move. If anything, it was a step forward move.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I believe.
Yeah. Todd Simonson asks, looks like we have about 8 to 9 players to sign with about $24 million of cap space in years 2 and 4, leaving room for call-ups. That only leaves roughly $2.5 million per player without having to sign Kaprizov and Fiala. Valuing guys, putting time in the AHL. How are you going to manage that?
Who is this guy?
Yeah, I know.
My God, he's good.
Yeah.
No, we have to prioritize positions and players. And, we have to slot them properly. We have to, you know, kind of have to earmark certain dollars for certain positions mm-hmm. and certain players and then kind of stick to that. You know, you can't just spend wildly. It's not a lot of money when you know, it goes quickly. It is a mm-hmm. lot of money, but it goes quickly. And so we just have to be prepared for that. That's what I mean. Like when you have a plan, like these things are all thought out of.
Yeah.
We don't just go into free agency with – all right, well, we got $24 million here. Mm-hmm. Like, let's just start, you know, scratching it off.
Right.
No, we have it all earmarked for certain positions.
Sean Warren says, how many prospects do you feel can realistically make the jump in the next 2 years? And was that a major component to the decision of buying out Parisian Suter now?
No, it's one of the bonuses. I don't want to say bonuses, one of the upsides, luxuries of the buyouts is that there are spaces available. There is opportunity. You have to give these guys something to play for and like belief that they'll get called up.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have, you know what? We've got Boldy, we've got Rossi, we've got Duer, Duhame, Addison. You know, these are all guys that can mm-hmm. legit get a shot, you know, and then there's still Kyle Rau and Luke Johnson and all these guys that mm-hmm. we have guys. And
so you're bringing them back is what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, we're going to try it. We like these guys.
Yep.
Like they're good players and you know, it's just a matter of, it's not a matter of just putting them in there. Mm-hmm. They have to earn it and play right. well.
Kate asks, will Billy bring a center in trade free agency? See, it's not just me.
No, I know. It's really everybody.
Here's a good question. Maverick Johnson wants to know if you're willing to share what your plans are for the A's next season.
Maverick. Yeah. Great name.
I'll tell you who I picked on Twitter today. I picked Foligno and Erickson Ek. You know, I think good choices. Let me ask you this, though. Like, you do have some other good candidates. Would you ever consider a rotation? Like the home road rotation, or
I don't like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like I didn't think that's your style.
I've never been. No, yep. You know what? You make your decision.
Yep.
And those are your guys. Yep. Other than that, it gets too. Yep. You know, I was on teams where we had this like leadership group.
Yeah.
And there's like 10 guys in the leadership group. Well, I'm like, what about the other 10 guys?
Yeah.
So half the team's on the leadership group, and half the team's what? Not.
Yeah. That's a great point. And the Wild used to be like that. They had like 9 guys in the leadership group.
Like, what the hell are we going to accomplish that?
Yeah.
You know, you pick your leaders and you go with them.
Yeah.
You don't want this big spread out thing.
So Foligno and Ecker?
Oh, hey, look, we got a lot of good options. So I'm not going to answer that question.
Maybe you'll sign another Foligno and you can have 2 Foligno's. Where A's.
Yeah, I don't know.
As I just told you, I can't put you in a position to talk about free agents. Let's see. And by the way, we are going to wrap up this podcast fairly soon because Billy's got some other obligations here. I'm just running through. The entry draft coming away, Jed Brackett gets into town next week.
Yep.
I guess the big thing now, like, how do you workshop? Like, you have 2 first round picks. Usually those type of trades happen on the draft floor if you're going to move up, down, things like that. Do you workshop that it's just literally something that happens that day?
No, there are some players that we feel are going to go a little bit before we're picking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's some like, you know, Judd and Matt Sells, like they analyze that stuff and they're like, hey, you know what, if this guy's still around at pick, mm-hmm. you know, X, we can maybe give them, you know, our pick at, you know, what are we, 22 and
26, or technically 21 26. And 25.
Yeah. So can we give them that in a third round to move up to 15 or whatever it is and, you know, be ready for that. This is a guy that we really like and he'd be worth it. Yep. So Judd and Matt really kind of put their heads together and come up with some plans like that.
Last hockey question. And then I just want to ask you a couple fun ones. Brian Benke has a great question. And I've wondered this too. Like when you have, and I'll just characterize what he's saying. But when you have all these meetings, Board of Governors today, GM's meetings yesterday, or even just private conversations with Bill Daly, do they give you a sense of where the cap can go in the next couple of years? Like, because it is obviously an unclear thing because we don't know where the business is going, but you got the new TV deal, Seattle.
Yeah, I mean,
do you have a confidence that the cap won't stay flat here for a while?
They give us a lot of information and they're very open with it and it's very protected. So I don't want to say much, but they're very interesting meetings. I just started going to the Board of Governors when I got this job. So it's a great experience. It's really, there's so much, you know, it's amazing how big it is. There's so much work that goes into it and so many people that like just make this league run. Mm-hmm. And it's just fascinating.
Yep. Couple fun questions in our 5 minutes left. Connor says, how do you find to get
away? Is this the same Connor?
You know what? I don't know.
No, it doesn't matter. Go ahead.
Connor, how do you find time to get away and have Billy G family time in such a condensed offseason? That's a good question.
You know what? You have to make it. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I just spent 10 days out at the Jersey Shore with my family.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It was unbelievable. It was awesome because my daughter she can work from home now. She's in New York City, but she came down. So there was all 6 of us in the house. And, you know, we even told the kids, like, no guests. No, we don't want any friends over for just this 1 week. Let's just be together.
Mm.
And we just had the best time. Yeah. And, like, it's awesome. But you have to carve it out. Yeah. We have to make a big effort.
Yeah. Your wife, Kara, has been a hockey wife forever. Your son, Liam, is a hockey player and loves the sport. I'm not positive about your daughters and just their love of the sport, but I assume it's big. How much inside info do they get? And can I become friends with them? It's got to be kind of fun for Liam to like know, like, oh my God, they're about to trade for this guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
he He knows a bit. He knows a lot.
Yeah. Don't you think that he and I should become buddies?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah. For sure. You know what? It's kind of funny. They did not know about yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Until the morning.
Even Kara?
No, Kara knew.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's my wife. You know,
yeah, we have to have somebody at home.
Yeah. I trust her more than anybody in the world. Yeah. No, my kids didn't know that one. When they got up, Kara told them what was going on and, you know, be ready. And because, you know what, they're big stuff like that. They don't, you know what, my kids are on social media too.
Yeah, you want them to, like, you know.
We got to brace them for certain things.
Right.
But, you know, they've been in this world their whole lives.
Yeah.
And they know what's private and what's not.
Yeah.
And they're very, very good about it.
Yeah. Like,
they don't say anything.
Yeah. It's funny you said that, and I don't want to talk out of turn, but I remember when I got the scoop that Chuck Fletcher was being fired, I remember being so worried that his family knew. Like, I'm like, because I know that his kids follow me on Twitter, and I just was like, honestly, like, it created an unbelievable anxiety that, like, 10 minutes that I was going to put that out, and I just was so, like, I didn't want
crazy.
I've let players like Sean Burke they were traded on, you know.
You got to get to you got to get to your kids' schools and pull them out of there and make sure that they don't find out from their friends or whatever. Yeah, it's crazy.
Trevor Shepard, best pizza in Boston, Regina's or Serpino's?
Santarpio's?
He put Serpino's.
Serpino's? I don't know that. Okay. Pizzeria Regina's good.
Okay. I know we talked to F1 racing last time we were on the thing, but somebody goes, which team and drivers do you like and follow? Casey asked this question.
You know what? I like the Red Bull. I like the Red Bull team. Verstappen and Perez are really good. It's hard not. I just love the sport. I got hooked on it. It's awesome.
Netflix show.
Lando Norris has been really good lately. Did you see the Twitter thing or the? Yeah. I saw it on Instagram. Yeah. Or Kara sent it to me. He got mugged and somebody took his $55,000 watch.
Yeah,
but I like the Red Bull. I like their whole operation. I think it's pretty cool.
I was walking in Florence once and this guy comes over to me to pretend like he was going to shake my hand. He pulls me in and tried to grab my watch off my left thing, and I could have gotten killed because I did not handle that with
that happened to me in where was it, in Rome?
Yeah,
but it was all like these gypsy ladies and their hands are in your pockets and this and that.
No, it happened to me. Crazy. Yeah, I was super stressed because it was like three times that trip, and one time my hotel room was ransacked. Colin wants you to know that next time you're at the High Life Lounge in Des Moines, you need to.
I haven't been yet. I'm dying to go.
It's like famous.
I am dying to go there.
Yep. Wild Boy wants to know your favorite coffee brand. This will be the last question.
Dunkin' Donuts. I had one today.
Nice.
Large hot coffee with skim milk and sugar.
I actually like Dunkin' Donuts. That little hut in the mall in the MSP is always empty, you know, at the airport.
Dunkin'.
So fair to say that we'll have a pretty good a sense at least of what options you'll have to, like, what your needs will be after the expansion draft.
Yes.
You know, when we really
we'll have a clearer picture.
That's the perfect way to say it. Hey, Billy, as always, really appreciate you coming on. You're always really cool to just do stuff like this, especially on after a day like yesterday. If you're listening to this podcast, check out our comments section for each podcast episode, the Athletic app, and rate and subscribe to Straight from the Source on the Apple. If you aren't already a subscriber, and this maybe could be your gift. It could be a free subscription to The Athletic, Billy.
Perfect.
For coming on here. Go to theathletic.com/straightfromthesource and receive a subscription for just $3.99 per month. Thanks for the hospitality today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again.
Appreciate it.